Right, Corey, you talked about visual cues. You used a visual aid yesterday. And I bought a visual aid this morning. What is this? A leaf, not an ordinary leaf. This is a fig leaf plucked from one of my own fig trees less than 2 hours ago. And it has withered considerably just in the last 2 hours, but there it is, a fig leaf. Hard to figure why anyone would ever want to make clothes from something like this. Has been tried. Okay, there's my fig leaf. I'll put it down there. So there's a clue about what I'm going to talk about this morning. Visual aids. There is scriptural precedent for using visual aids. By way of introduction, I want to read a few verses in Mark chapter 8, one of the Lord's miracles. Mark chapter 8, 21 to 25. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Now, this is a unique miracle. Unique. Every other time that the Lord Jesus healed anybody, and he healed many people, many blind people, he always healed instantly, right? This is the only time recorded where the Lord Jesus healed somebody in two phases, two steps. For a long time when I read this, I was very puzzled. Why? Why on this occasion only did the Lord Jesus do it in two steps? Did he make a mistake? No, of course not. Jesus didn't make mistakes. So why? I was puzzled. The answer, there is a good answer, and as you'd expect, it's found in the context. If we go one step further back to verse 21, Jesus said to them, his disciples, "Do you still not understand?" And he said this many times to his disciples, "Don't you get it?" The Lord Jesus was trying to teach them many very important points, and they were very slow to pick up. And you can sense the Lord's frustration here. "Don't you understand even now?" So the reason he healed this blind man in two steps was as a visual aid to his disciples. He used this man as a visual aid. He was saying to his disciples, "Look, this guy, you are like him." Okay? He was completely blind. Then he could see a little. In time, he could see perfectly. And you disciples, you're like that. Okay? You are hopelessly blind. I'm teaching you. You're getting it a little bit. But in time, you will see perfectly. A lot of the lessons that the disciples had to learn, they actually didn't learn properly until after the Lord Jesus returned to heaven. What were the last words of the Lord Jesus just before he went back? He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Well, apparently they heard the Jerusalem and Judea part, but Samaria and the ends of the earth, they didn't get that part. Even then, they didn't get that part. Until we're well into the book of Acts. We're 10 chapters into the book of Acts before Peter realized that it was okay to go to the home of a Gentile and sit down with them and share the gospel. They were steeped in very unhelpful Jewish traditions that had accumulated over the centuries. The most damaging, no doubt, was the sense of racial superiority. God had blessed the children of Israel, chose them specifically, nurtured them, given them a promised land. But unfortunately, many of them became arrogant in that, looked down upon Gentiles, and believed that they should hold Gentiles at arm's length. You might be forced to do business with them in the marketplace sometimes, but you keep that contact to a minimum. And of course, that wasn't God's plan at all. When God blesses people, they should enjoy those blessings, yes, but God blesses people in order to be a blessing to others, right? And that was part of the package. God blessed Israel so that they could then pass on that blessing to others. Now, the take from this is that the Lord Jesus used visual aid sometimes to get his message across. And he used this blind man as a visual aid to get an important message across to his disciples. Okay, so that's just by way of an introduction. We're going to look at another visual aid that the Lord used. Mark 13, verse 28. Jesus said, "Now learn this lesson from the fig tree." Okay, so the Lord Jesus is inviting us to look at the fig tree, learn from it. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to look at specifically at one fig tree. And you can probably already guess which one we're going to look at. And the key passage today is Mark 11. Mark 11, a very important incident. So let's read it. Mark chapter 11, from 11 to 17. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" And a little further on, verse 20, "In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from its roots." Okay, now this is obviously a very important event in the timing of the Gospels. Jesus has just entered Jerusalem, his last full week on earth, the end of perhaps 3.5 years of ministry, healing, teaching the good news, mainly up in Galilee, a few other places too, but now he's in Jerusalem for his final week, and this incident is of the utmost importance. So if you need a title for this, it would be Lessons from a Fig Tree. So when I read this passage about Jesus cursing the fig tree, causing it to die, amazingly quickly, the parallel passages actually say that it began to wither and die even as they were watching, and they were astonished by this. But rather puzzling, right? For many years when I read this, I thought, why? You know, why on earth do this? It was a healthy fig tree. If anybody other than the Lord Jesus had deliberately killed a perfectly healthy fig tree, we would wonder about their maturity, wouldn't they? Wouldn't we? We would think this person's immature. Maybe there's even something wrong. But again, of course, the Lord Jesus always did things for a good reason. But why? I mean, it wasn't even the right season for figs. Didn't he know that? Of course he did. If he was hungry, why didn't he create figs on the fig tree? I mean, he created filling meals for thousands of people. It would have been a simple matter to create some figs and then pluck them and eat them. He didn't do that either. Okay, so why kill this perfectly healthy fig tree even when it wasn't even the right season for growing figs? Well, again, there's a good reason, a very good reason. And just as in the case of the blind man who was healed in two stages, the explanation is to be found in the context. Okay, so Jesus has just come into the city of Jerusalem, the capital, both the political and the religious capital of Israel. And a little bit of history of the temple is important. You know this, of course, but a bit of revision. The original temple was built by Solomon around about 900 BC, take or leave. And it fulfilled its function for 300 plus years. Animal sacrifices, daily offerings of praises to the Almighty. And then finally, and then it was destroyed. That first temple was destroyed in 586 by the Babylonians, who destroyed the temple and the city, carted off many Jews into slavery in distant lands. Then a few decades later, the new Persian Empire, under the new Persian Empire, Cyrus the Great, he allowed some of the Jews to return, and a few did, and rebuilt the city under Ezra and Nehemiah, rebuilt the city of Jerusalem, and in time rebuilt the temple. And so again, that fulfilled its function for about 500 years. Apparently those who got to see both thought the first one was a poor reflection on the original one, which was much more splendid. But it fulfilled its function to some extent, in that animal sacrifices were being carried out as prescribed by the law. And so now we're in the first century, and the temple is now a magnificent building. Herod, the baby killer. This is the Herod who, he was the puppet ruler of Israel at the time, hated by the Jews, but outside of Israel, he was actually known as Herod the Great. He was a cruel and oppressive ruler. He tried to, kill the infant Jesus, killed all the babies in Bethlehem and the surrounding areas in order to kill the newborn king. That's as close as I get to bringing Christmas into this message, unfortunately. But outside of Israel, he was actually known as Herod the Great for his spectacular building projects. The fishing village of Caesarea, he built up into a magnificent port, one of the best ports in the Mediterranean, and many other fabulous building projects. But probably his most spectacular one was building up the new temple. On top of the old one, he built a magnificent temple which was famous the world over. Tourists came to see it. It was an incredible building. If you've been to Jerusalem and seen the Wailing Wall, that's the only part that dates from this era. Okay, the Wailing Wall was not part of the original temple. May have even been part of the fortress of Antonia, the Roman garrison. But when you see those magnificent blocks so perfectly joining together, you get a little inkling of what the original temple may have been like. And people were very, very impressed. Mark 13, verse 1. As he was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." Was the Lord Jesus himself impressed? Doesn't seem to be, no. What did he say next? He said, "You see these stones, these magnificent buildings, every stone will be thrown down, not one will be left on another." And he was talking here about the upcoming destruction of Jerusalem, which would happen less than 40 years later. We'll talk more about that if we can, but it seems that the Lord Jesus himself was not particularly impressed with the but, did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of this fruit, "Next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Okay, so another fig tree with another very important lesson. What's the lesson in this fig tree? God is patient. He's very patient. But time is limited. Time is limited. He's giving us more time to bear fruit, but time is not unlimited. Do it, and do it soon. Okay, so there's the lesson from this fig tree. Time is limited. Bear fruit while you have the opportunity. We don't know how long we've got in this life. God gave Israel nearly another 40 years to get their spiritual act together, but sadly they got worse and not better. And so the Lord did to Jerusalem, to the temple, what he did to that fig tree, destroyed it at the hands of the Roman army. Judgment came upon unrepentant Israel, and their beautiful temple was sadly destroyed. So look, I'll leave it at that. The lesson today, bear fruit or die. And do it soon, because time is limited. And Lord, please, trim us, make us more fruitful. We want to serve you faithfully. Amen? Amen. Thank you.